I think one of the greatest joys in life is finding a friend, a kindred spirit, or maybe even sometimes a complete stranger that I have something in common with. Finding out that there is something deeply meaningful to me and to them that we have in common. It's almost as if I have found someone along the journey who has picked up the same walking stick, that thing that keeps me grounded, steady, and that keeps me going. Is also shared by another person. For Topher and Becky in their conversation about joy, we get to see this moment happen for them, of discovering a shared joy in the poetry of Mary Oliver. Before they begin, I'd like to read a poem that is a source of joy for the two of them. It's entitled, Don't Hesitate. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. Give in to it. There are plenty of lives and whole towns destroyed or about to be. We are not wise and often not very kind, and much can never be redeemed. Still, life has some possibility left. Perhaps this is its way of fighting back. That sometimes something happens better than all the riches or power in the world. It could be anything, but very likely you notice it in the instant when love begins. Anyway, that's often the case. Anyway, whatever it is, don't be afraid of its plenty. Joy is not made to be a crumb.
It's super good to just see you, Becky. I feel like seeing people from church like face to face is really, really nice right now.
Yeah, it is very, very nice. It certainly is. It was really interesting as I began thinking about this subject and thinking about the impact that the pandemic and isolation has played in how I experience joy. And one of those is being able to experience those relationships face to face.
Yes.
Human to human and missing that terribly.
I feel like there are so many things that we take for granted in that kind of interaction of like, it brings me joy to shake people's hands on Sunday. It brings me joy to like hug a friend or see a friend. All these little things that we just kind of don't do in this medium, or if we do see people in person, we now don't do because of distancing or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have so often as I would walk out of our church following our fellowship time, I would just think to myself before I even arrived at the sidewalk, I just feel better.
Yes.
And often it was a lot of different reasons I felt better. And again, in thinking about this subject and thinking about the people in our faith community listening to this, I thought so often it was because I got to be in face-to-face contact with them. Absolutely. Or I knew Frank would greet me with a hug. Right. Or
it brings to mind for me one of the things that was coming up as I was thinking about this interview is what we even mean by joy. I mean, I think when I was a kid, I would hear the word joy and I would think like, it's gotta be like that bright excitement, like ode to joy, like jumping up and down euphoria kind of thing. And I think nowadays I think of it much more in terms of a sense of, and maybe this is COVID inspired or just where I am in life, but I think of it in terms of peace. I think of it in terms of hope and a sense of kind of well-being and rightness with the world around you. And that is certainly connects to me for how I feel when I sort of walk out of service and I'm reminded of these people and the things that we share and the space and the connections there and that sort of like re-entering the world after worship with a very shifted view in that moment or shifted sense of self.
When have I experienced joy, or how do I know it's joy that I'm experiencing? Mm. It is when I feel a oneness with what is important in life for me. Yeah. And for me, it always comes back to nature, sitting among the trees, walking in the woods, walking through the park here with my dog and seeing a beautifully colored autumn leaf on the ground. And there is that sense of peace that you described, that sense of knowing that this is what brings me joy. Or it is relationships with people I care deeply about. And it's seeing their smile. It's hearing my daughter's laughter.
Yes.
Which is my favorite sound in the world. And again, there's a peace that comes to me of, and it feels like nothing else matters. All the material items, all the riches in the world are pale in light of those experiences of nature and being with people I care so deeply for.
I love that description of it, sort of it paling. I think what I really connect to in that beautiful image of walking with your dog and with the leaf is I feel in hearing that a notion of things clearing away of the sort of unnecessary or partial things just sort of kind of fading to the background and a sense of clarity and a sense of connection. I like the word that you used, oneness, that when I think of the experiences of joy that I have, there is a sense of simplicity isn't the right word necessarily, but that like there's a truth to it, that like this is very, very real in a way that like a lot of the other things that are sort of partial or complex isn't in the same way.
And so what are some of those, Topher?
I mean, I think one that came up for me, I think in thinking about a time of joy for me lately, it's, you know, throughout COVID and throughout this last year, there's always kind of a background of feeling unsafe or feeling loss. And so for me, I work in a hospital, I'm out in the world fairly regularly, coming home and letting that world fade a little bit to the outside and getting, this is sort of my happy place, getting onto the couch next to my partner. And we have two cats that are basically like sisters, and I'll get like a blanket on my lap and they will immediately see, ah, this blanket is a hammock. And so these two cats will come over and sit between my legs on this blanket, and my partner will be right next to me. And I have a sense of safety. And more than just, I think where the joy comes in is more than just my own safety in that moment, but this looking down at these cats and feeling my partner next to me, a sense that I'm part of creating safety and peace also, that it reminds me in an almost spiritual way, it reminds me who I am in that moment, that I'm not just how I've felt during the day, which is a being who is threatened, a being who is vulnerable in so many ways, but also a being who provides comfort and a being who helps provide a sense of safety for, in this case, small furry creatures, as well as my partner.
And one thing I hear as you describe that that scene and that image resonates with one of the things I said of deeply caring. I mean, there's an image as I listen to you talk of feeling that joy when you are in that space of deeply caring. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but that's just what I hear you describing. And I again, in thinking about our time today, I was reminded of how often my experiences of joy were around me giving of myself, even if it was simply in the tenderness of loving the beauty of an autumn leaf, or if it was in the tenderness of loving to see the people who I care so deeply for, or hearing their voices or their laughter or whatever. Yeah. The other thing that came to me as I began to think about this in my own personal experiences is how I miss joy if I'm looking for it. I sometimes miss it, I think, if I am feeling like I have to desperately find it or see it or experience it. That if I will just take that deep breath and just maybe practice some awareness, how it is such in the simple, in the day-to-day things and or experiences that I can have that I sense profound joy.
Absolutely. I really relate to the image of it's something that you almost ruin by trying to make it happen.
Exactly. That's it. That is it. That's so beautifully said.
Pastor Britt's question about the sort of shadow side of joy as I was having trouble with that one because I'm like, well, what is that? But I think when you try to make it happen and you try to force it, it's something that you have to allow in some way. It's something that the most you can do is notice and make room for it. One of the places my mind went with joy immediately was Mary Oliver is one of my favorite poets.
Oh, mine too. Matter of fact, look.
All right. There it is. Right
there is a poem in here that has been sitting out. I'll tell you after you finish. Maybe something you're about to.
Could be. I mean, the phrase that came to mind was the poem ends with the phrase, joy is not meant to be a crumb.
That's it.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate.
Don't hesitate. You feel it. Yeah. That's great. That has been one that I've really actually struggled with this year because it is something that you have to allow to happen. And whether it's because of the pandemic or because that this is sort of known in the church, my father died back in March. There have been moments where I have felt joy and caught myself feeling guilty about that. Caught myself feeling like there's so much wrong in the world. There's this memory that I'm honoring. I shouldn't be feeling this. But when I look at that poem, it really is a perfect reminder. It has those lines in there of like, there are plenty of lives or whole towns destroyed. We are not wise, not often very kind, but the joy is still available to us in some way.
Exactly. I love that first line. If you suddenly and unexpectedly feel joy, don't hesitate. I feel like I've experienced a lot of loss. I was 24 years old when my mother died.
Wow.
And grandparents prior to that. And it's, you know, how do you choose to frame all that is happening to you? And while not neglecting letting myself feel anger and hurt and sadness, there's, and I don't know whether it's, I honestly don't know whether it has to do with my faith, which many days I'm not even sure of. But it's like, okay, there is hurt, there is sadness, there is anger around all of this loss. And it is okay for me to go sit in the among the trees.
Yes. Yes.
And feel the grass under my bare feet, or sit and be saturated with the sunrise or the sunset, and experience joy in that.
Yes.
During grief.
Right. Yeah.
I can let myself do that and not feel guilty. I think one of the beauties of life is the paradoxes that we are faced with daily and how we hold those in a healthy tension, where one is not the antagonist. And so I think about holding grief and joy in this same space of my heart and my head and my body at the same time. And how we do that, how we manage that.
Right. I think sometimes that we, or at least I, struggle to make sense of those things that seem contradictory. I put the scare quotes on make sense, because they do make sense in the way that they live within us simultaneously, but we try to make one true and the other not true. Mm-hmm. And they're both true completely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And both so valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both parts of us, part of our lived experiences, part of what our spirit is trying to teach us in some way. And by making one true and the other not true, we're kind of invalidating that part of our own experience, not making room for the fact that we are profoundly complex creatures. Mm-hmm. I think that's, again, another Mary Oliver thing in my mind of like, we shake with joy, we shake with fear. How much in us to be shaking with all these things?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that one. Yeah, how we shake with fear and we shake with joy. Yeah,
we do.
Yeah. Mary Oliver's words, written words, have served as a balm for my woundedness so often. And they have served as a vehicle for helping me get aligned with what is important in life and truly what brings me joy in life, because she writes so much about the experiences of nature, whether that is a swan or her dog Percy or the trees and the plants and that kind of stuff. I mean, she just is such a prophet.
Absolutely.
To me. She is such a prophet to me. And
Since we're on the theme of her, I think one image that Pastor Britt's question about a time you lost joy in your life, there's a one of hers that, it's not the full poem, but the image of someone asking, why do I feel so cold inside after the loss of a person? And sort of the answer she gives is, weren't they warmth in your life? Weren't they light in your life? And there's a way that I feel like that negative, in the sense of like negative space around an object, teaches us a little bit what someone was for us before, or what the shape of joy is when we lose it and see the outline that it leaves in us. I have that image from, because my father died of Alzheimer's, he died in March, but there have just been progressive losses continuously over the last couple of years. And every time we lost one facet or another of connection, of relationship, it was like that, in retrospect, I see now that that showed me something so precious that we did have. And that that loss of joy left an outline of what shape joy can take. And that now it does feel cold there, but that it also shows me something valuable about the way I can connect to people, the way I can enjoy and love the people in my life. And depending on the day, that's a little more distance than I actually have from it, to be honest. But
wow, I could talk for a long time about that. Actually, it's just more questions. You're like, who authors those messages for me? Who is the author of a message that I allow to penetrate my being to the point I would not let myself feel joy, experience joy? And I wonder if that's even greater now during the pandemic. That, you know, it's like everybody needs to be very serious and
yes,
and desperate and hurting and isolated and alone, and it's not okay to be experiencing joy during these times. I think it's lifelong work to stay aware. I don't feel my age, and I don't normally reference my age, and I am aware that with every birthday, it seems like some of those old messages are less and less tolerated. That it's like the number of hours I have lived versus the number of hours I have perhaps left to live is there's a big difference in those numbers.
Sure. Yeah.
and why would I allow anyone, including myself, to rob myself
right
of the experiences that I know have brought me joy and will continue to bring me joy as long as I stay in tune with those, I guess.
Yeah, there's feels, I hear a certain mandate in that of, I have this time and I have this wisdom to see it. And there's a mandate in that to use that wisdom to make that most of it. And not most in the sense of like, now I must be as productive as possible and be as, you know, capitalistically successful, but live the fullest, be the most present that I possibly can.
And for me, that is toward creation. To be the most present I can toward creation. Because I am totally convinced that is how I experience joy.
And beautiful.
And to let, and just to keep Mary Oliver's words in my head, joy is not made to be a crumb. I hope I never forget that.
Thank you so much for tuning in to our third episode of the Advent Story Podcast. We hope that you were able to find some joy within this episode that stirred the joy within you. As we get closer to Christmas, we hope that you will check out our Facebook page and website to see what else we have in store for the season. You can find out all of that by going to churchofthethreecrosses.org or finding us on Facebook at Three Crosses Chicago. Have a great week, everyone.